figured out. What do? Give it to a woman. I just saw Barbara get an elbow. Now, I don't know what that means, but that could have been a confirmation of a word of the Lord, huh, sis? Praise God. We're honored to be here today, and we're not trying to take up a lot of your time today, but you know, God sent us down here. It's a five-hour drive. When my wife is driving, it's about 6 hours when I'm driving. But our angels go fast, I tell people. You know, some people's angels only go 55 and 65. I'm sorry. You need to retrain your angels to stay up with you, all right? And my angels stay up with me. I'm not advocating speeding or anything like that, so don't anybody run out of here and say, you know, he's advocating speeding. But my angels do have a tendency to go as fast as I go, all right? Hey, let me share a funny story with you. I'm a painter. I'm a painter, and of course, I'm a traveling minister as well. But I was on a job painting this week and on a two-story house, and literally I had to go up. Well, the chimney, I had to paint the top of the chimney and everything, too. It's a cedar-sided chimney and stuff. And the ladder I have is a 32-foot ladder, and it wouldn't even go to the top of the chimney. So I climbed up on the roof and then had to, you know, go up on the roof and paint the chimney from up there on three sides and then reach out. And, you know, I hate that, you know, reaching out anytime you're up high. But anyways, I was talking to a little boy. They got three little boys, and these little boys are inquisitive, as all little boys are. Cutest little guys, you know, and they just sweet, sweet family. They love the Lord. This family loves the Lord. And so they would come out and talk to me almost all the time, you know. Well, I had little boys years ago, and I know how little boys are and stuff. And they kind of get in your way sometimes, you know, when they're talking to you. And you know, you're trying to move a ladder or something. And you're moving a 20-foot or a 24-foot ladder, and you got a little boy standing there who's 6 years old. And you go on, you know, could you please maybe back up a little bit or whatever, you know. But anyways, the 8-year-old boy was out there talking to me. And we were talking about the tree and stuff, because I have to climb up where I set the ladder up. Has to go through the tree branches to get up to the chimney. You know what I'm saying? And there's no other way to do it. I had to do it that way. And it's uncomfortable for me, of course. I don't like going up on heights, you know, and like that. But I do it because God's given me the job, and so I do the job, you know. And this little boy we were talking out on the side of the house, and he said something about spiders or something. I said, yeah. I said, you got to watch it, because sometimes spiders get on you when you go up through the trees. You know, they'll get on you, and you know, you got to. And so I had never had one spider get on me. I've been working on that job all week, and this was on Friday. Never had one spider get on me or anything. And I go home for lunch, because it's only 2 miles from my house where I'm painting on this house. And I go home for lunch, and I'm washing my face because I'm full. I've been using a sprayer, and if you've ever used a paint sprayer, back spray and everything, I'm just a mess, okay? And so I'm trying to wash up enough to eat my honey and peanut butter sandwich. And I feel something itching my head a little bit. And so I rinse, get my face rinsed off the rest of the way over the sink, and I reach up there, and it just kind of irritates me a little bit, and so I just kind of went like that. This big old black and brown spider hits my sink area, and I'm going, oh, man, that's nasty looking. You know, it was big. I don't like spiders anyways. And the first thing I thought of was, and what did you confess this morning? Yeah, you got to watch it, because spiders will get on you. All week and not one spider, and all of a sudden I get a spider. The first, just 3 hours within my confession, I'm going to tell you something. You may say that's silly, but I want to tell you something. The words of your mouth have power and anointing. You have the anointed one inside of you, and as you rise up and you walk in the anointing that God has gifted you in, and you speak the anointing that God has gifted you with, which is His Word, that is the real anointed thing that you're going to have success or defeat with in life, is this right here. And as you speak the word, and even though me speaking the spider thing was not the word of God, I got exactly what I confessed. Exactly. We could call it coincidence all we want, but I'm going to tell you something. God taught me a lesson through that little spider. Well, that little, he looked like that big. When my face was right down over the sink, and he, you know, well, he was maybe, well, well, anyway. Well, okay. But any spider's too big when he's on you.
So what did the angels have to do?
Oh, so the angels, they probably said to me, yeah, because my wife and I were talking about it later, the angels probably said, I don't know why he wants a spider on him. Now, we've kept the spiders off of him all week. I don't know why he wants a spider on, but I guess we'll just pull our hands back, and if a spider gets on him, a spider gets on him. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are to inherit salvation? I'm telling you, folks, I'm serious about this thing. I don't play around with the gospel. I don't play around with the Word of God. I can't afford to play around with the Word of God. I've seen too many people play around, and I've seen what happens to them. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be one of them that they sing about. I'm one of them, one of them. However the rest of the song goes. You know, the old account was settled long ago, and it's settled for me, and I'm not going to walk in a new account either. I'm going to stay in the same account Jesus already paid for me. Amen, but it is His anointing that gives your words power. Even words, I don't know why I'm on this. It's not my message. Honestly, it's not my message today.
You know, the thing I got was when you prayed at the beginning, you said, don't stop what God's doing. And you said, I'm not talking to these people. I'm talking to whoever's watching.
Right.
You know, when there's a wedding and everybody comes, we were taught that those people that are out there are the makers or the breaker of that wedding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, she's going like, well, it isn't no fair. You know what he does? He brushes his teeth. He brushes his teeth? Why, that's grounds for a divorce. You know, I mean, these people out here can make a difference to the anointing of God that flows. You guys are rich.
Yes.
You guys are powerful with the Word of God.
Right.
And
right.
What you say will come to pass. You guys are awesome.
That's right.
Can you see the unity in this house?
Amen.
And how they're bound together to see the provision of God come to pass?
Right.
You're anointed. You're mature. You're full.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word. And you are. And the thing is, you will make or break this ministry. Do you realize Pastor Relaford does not have the authority on his own to make or break this ministry?
That's right.
It's every one of you here.
Yeah.
Everyone. I'm speaking from a pastor's heart, man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I pastored for 13 years. I had people. Never mind. I had anointed people. But many times anointed people seem to get stuck in their ruts, and that's all they want. And honey, we don't do it that way here. We don't do that. I was involved in a church one time when just move on, Pastor. Move on, brother. Move on. Amen. So what am I saying today? Your words are powerful words. Amen. So speak the Word of God. And speak it expecting to receive something, amen?
Yeah.
Come on, we go around, and my wife saw she got up on the wrong side. You know, there was one guy that went to to his pastor for marriage counseling, him and his wife, and they were having a lot of trouble in their marriage and just fussing every day, day in and day out. And he talked to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, he said, when my wife, when she gets mad, she just becomes hysterical. And the pastor looked at him and said, you mean hysterical, right? And the man said, no, I mean hysterical. She becomes historical when we start fussing. The pastor said, what do you mean historical? He said, she starts bringing up everything from my past. Well, that's a joke, okay.
But
it was, yeah, the women laughed too, and that's good. I appreciate that, ladies. You were good in that. Men do that too. We know that. But it's just kind of funny. But you know, why did I share that joke? I don't know, maybe to loosen you up a little bit. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. We're going to have fun this morning. Are you ready to have fun?
Yeah.
Last two times I was here, I ministered on Gideon, and I just can't get away from Gideon for some reason over this congregation, okay? I just can't get away from Gideon, and so you guys are going to get another dose of Gideon today. Is that all right? And I trust that what we say is not maybe something that you've never heard before, but I'm believing that what we're saying today and what we're sharing today is something that, excuse me, the Holy Ghost will illuminate into you and cause life to come through that into you through the Word of God. Amen? Is that good?
Amen.
All right. Judges chapter 6. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
Say, where are we going? We're going to verses 1. No, we're not. I don't even know where we're going. How do you like that? I didn't put it on my notes where we're going. I know it's Judges chapter 6.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, sis. Oh, okay. Verse 12. And I'm not going to read the whole story because we shared a lot of the story last couple times we were here. And you know what? I'm going to move my podium closer to you. Is that all right?
All right.
I get back there and I ring, and I've realized that from last time I was here. So I don't want a ring. The only kind of ring I want is this one.
Wedding
ring. Amen. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Gideon, and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, last time we shared, I shared on the fact that God speaks to your potential, not your problem. Do you remember that? God speaks to you. But this time, I want you to know something. I was studying out Gideon even more recently. I like the guy for some reason. And I was studying him out just this week even. And I found this out about him. When God said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor," God not only was speaking to his potential, but he was also speaking to a fact. You see, Gideon, fact, had influence among the people. He had influence among the people. You know how I know that? Raise your hand, please, if you're sitting here in this congregation today and you stood up tomorrow and went to Adair County or Russell County or the Louisville or Lexington even, got on the courthouse steps and said, "We're going to defeat the enemy. Anybody who wants to, come with me." How many of you could raise 32,000 people up in one day? Nobody? So you see, many times we read the Bible, but there are things that are kind of hidden from us until we start studying them out and find out that Gideon was known, even though he said, "I'm the least of the least of the least of the least, and God, I can't do this," and he was hiding at that time in fear in the wine press. We find out that Gideon actually had some influence at one time in his life. I think that's pretty awesome. Gideon could have been a general in the Israeli army for all we know. The Bible doesn't tell us he was or wasn't. By reading it into it, I may be inferring too much into that. I don't know. But I do know this, that Gideon at one time had influence. You know, I know Herb and Dot back there. I know that they unless God really does something phenomenal, they will never open another motel. Amen. But when I think of Herb and Dot, a lot of times, and don't take this wrong, but I think of Lakeview Motel over in Campbellsville. And when I sold cars over in Campbellsville, I used to go over there when I could sneak off the car lot sometimes, and come over and just spend a few minutes talking to you guys. I remember Herb working on a door one time. I was over there talking to him, and he had to be working on a door or something. It was sticking or something. You were readjusting it. And Dot, she was always over there cleaning something, even though she had cleaning ladies too that she was probably real tough on. But she was always cleaning too, you know. And they were always doing something, and occasionally they would slow down enough, maybe we'd sit down. You remember sometimes we'd sit down and have a cup of coffee? Yeah. And that's what I remember them from. Now, I will probably never go back to Lakeview Motel with them, sit down in their own quarters and have a cup of coffee. Or the lobby, unless they know the owners real well and the owners owe them something. But that's how I remember them. It was a little bit of influence in my life. But the point of this first point that I want us to get today is they still had influence. And to this day, they still have influence in my life. Yes. Why? Because of a cup of coffee. Right. You see, we don't know many times, we don't know the influence we have over people. Right. Gideon didn't even realize at this point in his life, Brother Ron, he didn't think about influence at this time in his life. He wasn't thinking about nothing but eating. "I just want some food. Give me some food, baby. And Mom, I can't cook no food. Daddy don't bring none home." And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." You see, Gideon was a man that people would follow into battle. He was a man that people would follow into battle. I got to scroll down this way, excuse me. He was influential in the lives of other people, even though he wasn't showing his potential at this time. And I'm here to tell you something, that I can look around at almost every one of you folks that were here 13 years ago when we were here, 14 years or whatever it is now. And I can tell you things about you that have influenced my life. And you know what? The amazing thing is, you won't even remember them until I bring them back to your remembrance. You know? That's the amazing thing about God. Now, that's a really cool thing because many times we get a big head sometimes if we think, well, he's there or they're there or because of me. No. It's because of God in you. It's not because of you. It's because of God in you. Benny Hinn is not Benny Hinn because Benny Hinn is Benny Hinn.
Right.
Benny Hinn is Benny Hinn because Benny Hinn has God in him. And God in Benny Hinn has done a work in Benny Hinn. And everybody knows Benny Hinn is known for what?
Healing.
Healing ministry. Right. Mm-hmm. Oral Roberts was not Oral Roberts because he was some great special guy. Oral Roberts was Oral Roberts because God inside of Oral Roberts was working through Oral Roberts. Amen. There's potential. There's not just potential, but there's influence today in this house because you have done something at some point in time in your life, and which brings me to the first point, and it's this. We are a people of valor. So if you're taking notes this morning, write down number one, I am a person of valor. I'm a person of valor. In other words, I have done something at some point in my life to influence somebody for the gospel's sake. I've done something at some point in my life to let people know that I can do something. You know, I'm a painter. People know I'm a painter. I don't advertise in my area. I get all my business by word of mouth. And I like that because that word of mouth is the best advertisement or the worst advertisement you want. It can be the best or the worst. But for me, it works out as good advertisement. And people sometimes choose me, even though my bid is not the lowest bid, because of
the word.
Influence. Advertisement. And it's not even my own influence. It's the influence of their friends who said, yeah, he painted our house. He did a great job. He's, you know, and whatever they say. Honest. Integrity. He's faithful. He'll do what he says when he says he'll do it. That means a lot. It's good to see you this morning. I missed you last time I was here ministering. It's good to have you here. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're all people of valor. Every one of us. Every one of us are people of valor. Every one of us have done something to influence somebody at some point in our lives. It may be just getting up in the morning for some people, but at least you got up, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I say, thank God I got up this morning, you know? Hallelujah. I look at the pastor and everything he's been through. And yet I say, what a man of influence. You know. Almost every one of us have proven ourselves in battle at some point. Now let me ask you a question, because being a person of valor is not just enough. See, you want to influence other people towards righteousness. That's the desire of my heart. If I come in here and I preach and you say, oh, you know, he was dressed nice. And by the way, do you like my new back rack shirt? I went to back racks to get this. How many of you know what back racks is? Oh, that's right. We're down in central Kentucky. Okay. Back racks is a top of the line men's clothing store. I paid $9.99. It said $54 on it, though, first price. So what, right?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness. I'm not trying to influence you to go to back racks. Trust me, I don't go except for the sales. These are JCPenney pants, JCPenney shoes, JCPenney socks. Okay. Almost every one of us have proven ourselves in battle at some point. How many of us would follow Jesus in a battle? How many of you would follow Jesus? If Jesus was here today, he'd say, hey, we're going to overcome the enemy. How many of you follow me in the battle?
Yeah, I would follow him.
I'd be the first one up. Yeah, Jesus, it's you and me. Yeah, come on. Yeah, let's go. Woo, that's it. You know, we're going to have a party now. No, I got the victory now. And yet Romans 8:11 says, but if, and I like to change the word if to since, because we're Christians. So let's just drop off the word if. Too many Christians speak if too much. Too many charismatics speak if too much. But since the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you, He shall quicken your mortal body by His Spirit who dwells in you. So we say, man, we'd stand up, follow Jesus in the battle, and the first attack that comes along, we go, oh God, what is going on? I don't understand this. This ain't right.
It ain't
right. Wait a minute, let's do it right. That ain't right.
It just ain't right.
Thank you. But He's in us. What are we following? Well, Pastor, yeah, brother, you don't know what it's like. You've got a good life. You know, you live up there in Ohio where God's blessing. And I'm kidding, too, by the way. Let me tell you, it's greener here than it is where I am. The grass is literally greener in Kentucky right now than it is in Ohio, okay, literally. I mean, you know, my dad, my mom was taken to the hospital, stopped breathing in the middle of the night again. You know, she has sleep apnea. She's got to wear a machine all night and have a tennis ball taped to the back of a T-shirt so she don't roll. So if she rolls on her back in the middle of the night, she'll automatically roll over. And, you know, not that she's that small that the ball rolls. Okay, well, it's the discomfort of the ball, you know, that causes her to roll back off her back and get under her side again. My dad was taken to the hospital in Michigan a week ago. I'm not facing physical things. There are some physical things I'm facing, but I'm not going to tell you about them because I'm believing God and I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. But we go through battles. Every one of us do. Yeah, I know what it's like. Don't forget, we're all part human, right? I kind of love this song. I'm only human. Except I love to change it to, I'm partly human. Because I'm only one-third human. There's only one-third of me that's humanity. Yeah. And I'm believing God that that gets less and less because Christ in me must increase, but I must
decrease.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm going to follow Jesus.
I better get to my message again. The same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Since He lives in you, He dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You see, we are all people of valor. Not one of us ever have to fail at anything in life. Now we do. I mean, and forgive me for saying that. I got to watch how I say that. Okay, because many times we learn more lessons through failure than we do through successes in life, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to learn, sis, if everything's going good?
Right.
Oh, God's a good God. Amen, He is. I can testify to that. Yeah. God is awesome. Yeah, He just, and yeah, and you know, but. But sometimes it takes failures in our lives to teach us lessons. Now, that's not God's idea, all right? Now, come on now. It's not God's idea. God can teach us everything He needs to through His Word. Everything. But we do have a tendency as that one-third of our part of us that's human, we have a tendency to learn more things through failure sometimes than through success. And that's good when you go through, when you hit a point in your life. Listen, I have hit points in my life where I've had to take complete turns according to, I mean, when we moved up to Ohio, folks, I'm being as honest as I can. We moved up to pastor a church in Ohio. We said, we will die in this church. We will stay here so long. We will be committed to this church for the rest of our lives. And then about 3 years ago, God started speaking to my heart and said, it's time for you to move on. Yeah. No, Lord, you know that's not right. Because my pastor in Kentucky, he has been there for 20-some, 30-some years probably. Now, I don't know. A pastor, one of my mentors up in Michigan has been pastoring his church for over 20 years. My district superintendent's been at his church for 27, 28 years. I mean, I can go through all these names and go, you know, this can't be God. And we had to come to a point in our lives, and it was a big decision for us, where we had to make a complete, almost U-turn in our lives. Just because God spoke something to us in the point of what looked like failure. It wasn't failure. I didn't go out. I didn't fail as a pastor. But it could have looked that way. And yet, boy, I'll tell you, God has taught us a lot through those things. God has taught us a lot. Every time we've faced a hardship in life, those of you who know us from years back, when we had our babies, we had two cesarean sections, and then we were going to have the next one at home. Well, the second one we're going to have natural in the hospital. And when that looked like it failed, well, she had another cesarean section. People said, well, what was wrong? I mean, our answer was, we don't know, but God will show us what we did wrong. It wasn't God will show us what He did wrong. Because He's always right.
That's right.
And that's been our attitude all of our lives. I've never looked at God and said, God, what have you done to me? I refuse to do that. Who am I? I don't want to be like Job. How many of you want to be like Job? He's the one that looked at God and said, God, what have you done to me? I know he did a lot of good too. I'm not dogging him today. But I don't want to be like Job. I don't want the double anointing that Elisha had. I've got the presence of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I don't need a double anointing of anything. I got greater than that right now. I can prove it because Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet that ever walked. And then he looked at his followers and said, but you are greater than John the Baptist. Well, amen. That was free. That was free for those of you who can receive it. Number two, I'm almost done, by the way. I have to say that. May not be completely. It is true in the scope of eternity, okay? I'm almost done. Number two, people are basically full of fear. People are basically full of fear. I've seen that over and over in my life. I have to deal with fear in my own heart, in my own life. I have to deal with fear. I have to overcome fear. I mean, I've actually, you know, if you knew the fears that I've dealt with, you'd be shocked. But I have to deal with fear. Try climbing up a 32-foot ladder, and you got to go over the top of it. That's fear. That's fear to me. Why do you do it? Well, I do it because that's what God gave me the job to do, and I'm making money doing it. But I'm not just talking about fear of natural things. I'm talking about we have, how do I put it, insecurities.
Yeah.
Every one of us have to deal with insecurities. Everyone, I don't care who you are. Listen, I don't care if you're the greatest woman of God or man of God on the face of the earth and everybody loves you, you still have insecurities that people don't know about.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And I have them and I have to deal with them. And my wife, sadly enough, has to deal with them with me. Because she bought into this covenant thing, praise God, and she's not going to let go.
Amen.
And I'm not either. Our covenant isn't tied just to each other. It's tied to Almighty God. People are basically full of fear. Listen to this in chapter 7, verse 2, and read it with me, please, if you still have your Bibles open. And you know, I would really encourage you. Some people say, I'm not a good reader, and so they don't bring a Bible to church. Carry it anyways. God may give you an awesome understanding of the Word of God. He will if you just read it. Chapter 7, verse 2, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. So he starts out with 32,000 people, and how many people left? You know the story. 22,000. You know what that tells me? That tells me that at least 2 out of every 3 people in this sanctuary here today are fearful. Full of fear. Not just a little bit of intimidation. You know, I look at this guy and he looks like a big, strong man, and his gray hair looks like he's had a lot of wisdom on his life, and you know, it's just nice and everything. And he might intimidate me just by his looks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I might be intimidated. I know this sounds funny, but you know, but I might be intimidated by his looks. Yeah. 2 out of 3 of you sitting here are dealing with fear in your lives today. Now, for those of you who are dealing with fear in your lives, you need to look around and go, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm not in this alone after all. I thought I was the only one having to deal with this fear. But you're not. Now, that's the good part. The even better part is that there's hope. And I'm not talking about the United States government. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven.
Jesus.
And the best part is, guess what? There's change available. I'm not talking about the United States government. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
That's where you're... Please don't play politics on me, okay? I'm not going there at all. But that's where your real hope and change is, in the kingdom of heaven. It's not going to happen on the earth through the congressmen, through the senators, through the congresswomen, through our judicial branches of government. It's not... Folks, you as a Christian will never get what you deserve as a Christian through the government of any earthly kingdom. You will only get what you deserve as a Christian through the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has established a heavenly government that ought to overrule any earthly government.
That's right.
Amen. I believe that. And so I'm concerned about who's leading our nation. Yes, I'm praying for our president. I'm praying for the next president. I pray for our senators and our congressmen and our congresswomen on the state and the national levels as well. But my hope is not in an earthly kingdom. My hope is in a heavenly kingdom.
That's right.
And though 2 out of 3 of you sitting in this sanctuary today may be full of fear, I want to tell you something. The guy who delivers you from fear is here. Amen. And it's not me. It's Jesus Christ inside of you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you that is anointed. The same Holy Ghost that the Bible says in Acts anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil.
Amen.
And boy, if fear is not oppression, I don't know what is. But you don't have to walk out of here with that fear today. Man, what a blessing. But you don't have to be shamed because of you're walking in fear or you're dealing with fear. And too many of us are. I'm afraid my marriage is going to fail. I'm afraid my job is going to, you know, my company's going to close down. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of the swine flu, the bird flu, the bug flu, I'm afraid of getting bitten by a chigger that's full of some deadly poison that's going to kill me. I'm afraid of spiders. They look yucky, you know. Yeah, I'm afraid of that fly that just landed on my McDonald's hamburger. And he may have been somewhere else where we don't want to talk about a few minutes ago in the McDonald's store. You know, he may be carrying some deadly germ or some deadly disease, I'm afraid. And people, literally, we laugh about it, but people, if we look at our own lives, we are literally talking that way about our own lives many times, you know. I'm just afraid. Then we used to sing a song, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given unto us the spirit of power, the spirit of love and of sound mind. The Bible says, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not fear. Jesus said, Jesus over and over encouraged his followers to not be afraid and not fear. Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is saying today, deal with the fear. Put it under the blood. Find the Word of God that covers that fear. Speak the Word. Start speaking the Word. I love what Jesus said to somebody, I forgot who it was, speak the word only and she shall live, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And another one, if you believe, only believe. And he said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah, I believe, help my unbelief. He was honest, at least, you know. The woman whose son died, that the prophet, she didn't even have a baby, remember her? And the prophet said, ask what she needs. Sent Gehazi, a servant, to her and said, ask what she needs. And she's, I don't need anything. She was a very successful woman. Her husband was a very successful man. They literally did not need anything. The prophet said, well, she is kind of old. She doesn't have a baby. Or the servant said, well, master, she doesn't have a baby. She's getting kind of on up there in years. You know, she's probably getting to 30 years old now. She needs a... It feels pretty good to say that when I'm only 27. Yeah. That's a miracle in itself when I got a 35-year-old son. But anyways, God does things in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He's awesome. He's awesome. She's getting kind of old, and the prophet said, well, you go and tell her next year at this time she'll have a baby. I'm telling you. It literally was a miracle. This woman was an older woman, and she didn't have a baby. She had a baby. When he was about 7 years old, he died. He was out playing in the field with his daddy. Most people think, people trying to explain the Bible away. And folks, don't ever fall into that trap. I mean, if you hear somebody say, well, that baby probably got sunstroke. Well, so what? Who cares what that little boy got? I don't care if it was sunstroke or not, heat stroke. Who gives a rip? He's dead. Don't try and diagnose the problem. Diagnose the solution. And this is the diagnosis for the solution right here. Amen. Amen. I'd rather be ignorant. I'd rather be ignorant and know the Word of God than be ignorant of the Word of God and know every reason why every failure happens in the world. So she said to her husband, I got to go see the prophet. He said, what's wrong? She said, nothing. Her baby died. Her 7-year-old son died. And she tells her husband, nothing's wrong. Now that's faith. But you see, she knew where she was headed. She was dealing, I'm sure she had fear attack her. Come on, she was part human too, even though she had a supernatural baby. When we fall into a pattern of fear, we fall into a pattern of failure. And now please don't just think of money here, because I'm not thinking of just money. But when we fall into a pattern of fear, we start expecting failure. We do. Man, I tell you, at first of this year, when my business started going strong again, because in the wintertime, it kind of slows down a little bit. I have a couple months where I might do maybe one or two jobs a month. I feel like I'm a lazy man in those times. I feel like those are the times when I call Ron Burton and come down and say, hey, can you put me on for 2 months at the hardware store? I'll do anything. I'll sweep the floors, mop, scrub toilets, just make a little bit of money here, Not that I need the money, because we don't live on everything we make. We save and we invest and we plan for those times. But I get feeling lazy. Like my wife is going to work and I'm not. I hate that feeling. How many of you men hate that feeling? You better raise your hand if your wife's going to work and you're not. And if you don't, and that's the case, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to say, Lord, you give them a job and never mind, let's just go on. Oh my goodness, well my wife can testify that I hate feeling that way anyways, I think. She went to the prophet. The third point today, and I've got 4 points, but the last two are real quick. The third point is this, and it's not even 12 o'clock yet. Folks, it's 1 o'clock my time, I'm not even hungry, so... All I had was orange juice this morning. I know you can't be hungry today. The people that were supposed to take me out to eat have left. I mean, they didn't even show up. I'm going to call him. You guys know who is supposed to take me out to eat, don't you, today? They're not here. I don't know where they're at. Well, anyways, I'm not going to say his name because most of you know him. I'll get after him, man. This is going on the World Wide Web. I don't know where all this is going. He's paying now. I have too much fun. I have a lot of fun serving Jesus, and I love preaching the gospel. I just love preaching. It's so much fun. The prophetic anointing will destroy the effects of fear. I came off this point and I thought of Sister. First thing I thought of was Sister Shirley. The prophetic anointing will destroy the fear. I'll tell you what. Did you ever hear that saying, Sister Shirley, if it ain't prophetic, it's pathetic? There are too many pathetic things in our lives that are not prophetic. And what is prophecy? Many times prophecy is speaking forth or foretelling. Yeah. I prophesy over my life all the time. Especially when the Lord shows me something. You know, and if he doesn't show me anything, I prophesy the word of God anyways, because he showed me that years ago. It still works. Amen. Still the same word. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. The prophetic anointing, point three, will destroy the effects of fear. What does the Bible say Jehoshaphat when he went to the prophet? You guys know the story, jumping Jehoshaphat, and he sends out the praisers in front of the army, and everybody, oh, hallelujah, the Lord is good, and glory, glory. Choir is going out in front of the armies that's coming at him with swords and spears and bows and arrows and today's vernacular, tanks and grenades, and then when you got a bunch of nuts out there singing praises to God. A bunch of spiritual believers singing praises to God. In the face of what looks like failure, they're singing victory. In the face of what looks like defeat, they're singing the purposes and the plans of God. In the face of what looks like the deadliest sickness that ever attacked your body, they're singing the healing Jesus. In the face of, it looks like I'm going to lose my home, they're speaking, I am the blessed of the Lord. God has blessed me with everything, every spiritual blessing in heaven and earth, and he's also blessed me with earthly blessings. Yeah, I believe that too. I really do. The prophetic anointing will destroy the effects of fear. Paul was talking to Timothy one day in a letter. It's in here. He said to Timothy, Timothy, stir up that gift that's put within you by the laying on of hands through the presbytery. Many times I go through I enjoy reading the Bible. Like most of everybody else, I don't read it as much as I should. But I enjoy it, when I do read it. Every time I come across that verse of Scripture, almost every time I come across the book of Timothy, I think of the day Pastor Relaford laid his hands on my wife and I and our kids and ordained us into the ministry. I think of that day because I'm stirring up that gifting again. See, I'm stirring up that anointing. There are times, how many years you guys been married?
Just 99. We were just talking about you. 13 years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, y'all left right after we got married.
Okay. There are times that I'll sit there and I'll think about my wife when she was 16 years of age. She wasn't my wife then. She was in my heart, but she wasn't on paper. And I never will forget seeing that beautiful 16-year-old girl walking down that center aisle. And I'm standing up there in my tuxedo. It was a big church wedding. I mean, there was probably, 350 people there in the church. It was packed, wasn't it? Up in Pontiac, Michigan. And she's walking down that aisle with her dad. And I'm looking at her. And she's got that veil over her face, that beautiful white veil, that beautiful wedding dress on. And I kid you not, the thing I thought of was, she's going to be mine. She's going to be mine. I love to pull this line on her. I can't believe she picked me. You know, we saw that in the movie, so I use that a lot. But I didn't think of it back then. I didn't see that movie until about 5 years ago. But I thought, and we've been married 36 years almost. It'll be this November, 36. That's awesome. Praise God. But I thought, she's going to be mine. She's going to be my wife. And I started to cry in front of 350 people, and I'm an 18-year-old insecure guy. And I thought, well, I can't cry. And so I thought, I got to stop. I got to stop thinking about her. And I purposely had to take my eyes off of her because she was such a beautiful creation to me. She's a beautiful woman, beautiful girl, really, but now she's a woman, and then she was a girl. But I often stop and I think about that day. Why? Why do I think about it? Because I'm stirring up again that passion inside of me for that little 16-year-old girl that didn't know better than to marry some 18-year-old self-centered, insecure guy. But man, and unless you're married and you got a good marriage, you can't explain a marriage. Oh. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, literally. And why do I do that? Stir it up. Why? Why do you want the prophetic taking place in your life? Because church, if we need anything, we need the stirring up again. We need the stirring up. We have become complacent for too many years. When I was pastoring my church up in Ohio, I've got a complacent church. And sometimes the Lord would look at me and say, son, I've got a complacent pastor. Oops. My wife and I had an anointed discussion recently. How many of you know what those are? If you're believers, they're anointed discussions. If you're a sinner, they're just out and out argument and fighting. Okay? We don't have arguments. We don't have fights. We have anointed discussions. There's a big difference. But anyways, okay, we were having one. And I went to the Lord afterwards. I said, Lord, and know my heart, okay? I try not to be judgmental. I'm learning. I'm actually learning after 36 years of marriage how to dwell with my wife in an understanding way. After listening to the stupid ways of the world for 30 years roughly and saying, well, you just can't ever understand a woman. Shut your mouth if you're saying that. Yeah. Don't dare say it around me. Yeah. I'll rebuke you in a nice way. You ignorant thing, you're destroying your own relationship with your own wife. Is that nice enough? So don't joke about your wives, man. And women, don't dog your husbands, man. Man, if they're not doing what you want them to do, you start talking up to them, not down. You need to look at him and say, man, you're the hottest looking guy I've ever seen in my life. I can't, never mind. She needs to be looking at me and saying, you're the best breadwinner I could have ever married, sweetheart. You take such good care of me. Anyways, you understand what I'm saying. Stir it up.
Amen. Stir.
Stir up the prophecy. You see, there's been prophecies that have been spoken over us. And by us, I mean this church, this ministry. There are prophecies that have been spoken over us. Now's the time to stir them up. Stir them up, man. Stir them up. Stir them up. Don't stir up the enemy's words. Those are the easy ones to stir up. Oh, I never did finish my story about our anointed discussion, did I?
Well, that was okay.
That was okay with her. I went to the Lord in prayer because I'm a spiritual guy, you know. So I pray for my wife, too. Okay? I said, I'm serious, Brother Ron. I'm serious, serious as I would say heart attack, but I don't believe in heart attacks in Jesus' name. I'm serious as I can be. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, you've got to do something with my wife. You've got to do something with my wife. I mean, you know, and I know you guys, you look at her and she's the sweetest looking thing ever walked on the face of the earth. I know that, but for some reason I didn't know it that day, okay? I think it was the part of the humanity that I loved so much in her that was getting to me so much that day. All right. Yeah, no, I hope this is all right.
Yeah, it is. It's funny.
Okay.
It wasn't funny that day.
No, it wasn't. I said, Lord, you got to change her. You got to do something to my wife. I mean, man, Lord, I'm trying. Come on, look at me. Look at me, Lord. Look what I'm look. Just look at me. Don't tell the Lord to look at you too much sometimes, okay? He will. He'll take a good close look. When God starts drilling into your heart, sometimes it's not the most comfortable thing you've ever felt. You know, it's about like the times, have you ever met men? And this, I think, is just for men. I don't know. But men, have you ever been at that time when you said something to your wife, and as soon as you said it, you got this burning sensation right about here, and you knew that you were totally, had just missed it? Or am I the only one that's ever done that? Oh, hey, we got one over here that admitted. All right, yeah, all right, yeah. And you get this burning sensation, go, oh, God, how could I have ever done that? And the first words out of my mouth, because I like to be like David and quick to repent, is, oh, I'm so sorry I just said that. And the first words out of her mouth are, oh, that's so sweet, I forgive you so much. I will never remember that again the rest of my life. We're believing that way. Okay, so let's leave that part, because some of that's not quite true, okay?
It will be.
In Jesus' name. I'll be quick to repent, too, and mean it. Be sincere about it. So anyways, Lord spoke to me and he said, I'll work at changing her when you allow me to change more of you.
Amen.
I'm going, oh. I'm not kidding. Are you guys married? You two? I'm not kidding. I later on that day, we were talking, my wife and I. You guys probably, you're probably newlywed. You haven't even had time to have anointed discussions, have you? Don't you just love that laugh? I mean, don't you just love when people laugh at something like that? Because you know what they're thinking. Yeah, right. Yeah, we know. Yeah, we got you, man. We got you. My wife said to me later that day, and she was graciously said it too. She was serious, and it took a lot of grace for her to say it. She said, what do you want me to change? I mean, come on, men. Your wife says that? How many of you know that's the time to pull out the list? Herb back there, he knows better because he knows there better not be a list. And if there was, if Dot ever got a hold of it, she'd skin his hide up one side. And, oh, okay. And there ain't no list, is there, Herb? There's no list. There is no list. We know better. There's no list. She said, what do you want to change? What do you want me to change? I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, I was praying about it today. And I said, you don't have to change a thing. I said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to change, or to allow him to work in me, a change in me. I said, when we get that all together, I'll come to you. Oh, how many of you know my wife hasn't made? I mean, because, you know, God's going to be working on me until the day I die. The day I go to be with Jesus, amen? Then I get up there, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You finally allowed me to get you here. I'm going, hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 9, let's finish up. Somebody said yes. Who said yes? Who said that yes? Sister Martha. God bless you, sis. Oh, okay, okay. It's not like the preacher that says, so he's preaching his heart out, and somebody says to the audience, preach it, brother, and he says, what do you think I'm doing? I do like you talking to me, by the way, so when I'm preaching, okay? Don't interrupt me, but talk to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you go for it, brother. Ooh, that's good. You say that enough, I go right through the message. Because I know you're catching it. If I don't get response, I'm like a father with a kid. I hammer it and hammer it and hammer it and hammer it until I know they got it.
Yeah.
And then they're so sick and tired of hearing it, they finally say, why do you always lecture us? You know, have you ever had your kids do that? And that's about the time you want to say, why don't you listen the first time and you don't have to hear the second? My kids never did that, by the way. I mean, they always listen the first time. In case they're watching, thank you, guys.
At least how we remember it now.
Yeah, at least how we remember it now. Amen. So it happened on a night, verse 9, on that same night that the Lord said to Gideon, "Arise and go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant." Isn't that interesting that God spoke to the commander of the army and said, "But if you're afraid." And what did the commander of the army do? He took Purah with him, which tells us what? He was afraid. Listen, there's no shame in being afraid of something. The only problem comes is when we stay in that fear and refuse to do what God's called us to do or to operate according to the Word of God, which is what He calls us to do.
That's right.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, you can't lose with God. There's no shame.
That's right.
You know, if you fail, so what? The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and gets up every time. I mean, come on. How can you fail in the long run with God? You can't. Not unless you just, well, you can't even stick your tongue out at him and him get mad at you. But if you are afraid to go down, take Purah, verse 11, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. You guys remember about 4 years ago we had the 15-year locust or whatever it was come through? Whatever it was. Was it down here in Kentucky as well? I mean, in Ohio, you were out in the woods. Oh, it sounded funny when you were talking. It sounded like all our words were slurring. Do you remember that? It was really, really cool, you know? Talking to my wife, it sounded like I was slurring everything. I was saying every sentence, you know. Reminds me of a joke your husband told me, your husband, years ago, before he passed away. Oh, yeah. But I can't tell it here. It's not a dirty joke. I better clarify that. But there was one word in it. It was about a preacher. Oh, move on, my wife says. Move on. Verse 13, and when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and then the tent collapsed." Then his companion, this is awesome. This is awesome. These are sinners. These are sinners. God is using to prophesy to the saints.
True.
Get a hold of that. That ought to light your fire. God is using the sinners to prophesy the word of victory to the saints. Wow. I had a surprise. Then his companion entered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel." He didn't even know him, probably. I mean, come on, a guy with 300 men and 300 pitchers and 300 trumpets. What kind of a battle is that? That makes no sense at all. That's what I love about God. Sometimes He makes no sense to our human mind. "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." You get a picture of this. These people were on the verge of despair. Everything around them looked bad. And I'm going to stop at point 3. You're not even going to be at point 4 today for the sake of time. But everything around them looked bad. But what did God say? They were going to win. And that came through what? It came through the prophetic anointing. It came through the prophetic anointing. Everything in our lives, everything, ought to come through prophetic anointing. I'm serious, everything. You say, "Well, can't Pastor, Brother Richard, can't we figure that out ourselves?" Well, may I be blunt? In northern vernacular, maybe I'd be blunt and not be nice Kentucky way right now. That's your problem. That's your problem. You're trying to figure things out. You're trying to examine things. Well, does this make sense or does this make sense? Listen, if it's spoken prophetically and you know that it lines up with the Word of God, you go with the prophetic. You go with the prophetic. Doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. Because when you start getting God into the equation, and He is actually the equation, it'll fly every time. It'll work every time. In other words, it'll succeed every time. Man, it made no sense to me to resign our church. 13 years, and you know, finances were going good in the church. I mean, we were actually getting paid housing and a gas check every week, you know, for the first time in years. I mean, what's wrong with God? You know, we were still seeing some growth. We were seeing some people healed. We were definitely seeing some healings take place. Some miracles even took place. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost still. People were getting set free. I mean, what's better than that? And yet God is saying, son, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. And I said, man, that don't make any sense to me, God. Took him 3 years to get through to me and my wife. How many years are you going to let him work on you before you guys... Oops, I apologize. I'm starting to get that Ohio thing going again, that northern thing going. But Sister Shirley, how many years are we going to let God talk to us before we become obedient? I'll say it to you because I know you're obedient. I'm serious. I know that. How many years does God have to talk to you before you finally obey His voice? When God spoke to my heart the last 6 months I was there, and He said to me one Sunday morning when I walked into church, and the messages were anointed, don't get me wrong, because you know what? God is going to honor His Word. His Word's anointed. How many of you know when a great big televangelist back in the 80s was caught in a form of adultery, that his messages were still anointed. They were still anointed. His singing was still anointed. He was one of the most anointed singers in the world. So God's not going to let His people suffer just because He's got a preacher that's disobedient. Aren't you thankful for that? And I'm talking about myself, not somebody else now. When God spoke to my heart about 6 months before my last Sunday in that service that church was, and He said, how long are you going to disobey my voice? How long are you going to disobey my voice? What do you do with a God like that? He didn't say, I hate you. He didn't say, I'm mad at you. He didn't say, I'm upset with you. He just said, how long are you going to disobey my voice? It broke me in here when He said that. I went home that Sunday, I think it was, talking to my wife. I said, I have got to leave this church. Yeah. I had to. I didn't have a choice. Well, I had a choice. It was obedience or disobedience. If we will take that same choice in our lives that God is speaking to each one of us right now, there's different things God's speaking to you. You see, I believe that in each one of you, and I believe the Bible backs it up, that there are giftings and anointings inside of each one of you that the pastors have tried for years to draw out of. And yet, some obey, some don't. What's it going to take to see this church full of hungry, searching saints and sinners both, crying out and saying, God, I don't care what it takes. I want You in my life. I want all of You, God. You see, I had to come to a point in my life. And I had prophecy spoken over me. Prophesied over the church. And I still had to come to a point in my life and say, God, I want you so much more than I want this. Because I thought when I was giving up, when I was resigning, I didn't know if I would ever preach again. And my passion is to preach the gospel. That's my passion. I paint because I have to. I preach because I love to. That's the passion of my heart. That's the thing that drives me. It gets me up and causes me to go to work so I can say, man, God opened the doors for me to go travel and minister. Open the doors for me to minister to other churches and set people free and declare to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that's able not only to save their souls but to heal their bodies and to deliver them and to prosper them and whatever they need in their lives, Lord. But when God spoke to my heart and he said, how long are you going to disobey me? And I'm the pastor of the church. I thank God the whole church just didn't go screwy while I was.
That's right, praise God.
While I was in disobedience to the Lord myself. And they didn't. They stayed. Stir it up, people. Stir up the prophetic. I'm not saying, and don't you dare do this. I'm not saying go back to where you once were. I never want my marriage, Sister Gail, to go back to what it was, even 5 years ago. We don't want that, do we? But I'm saying this. You've got to stir up that anointing that's inside of you. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. That anointing is inside of every one of you. You may not even know your giftings yet. You may not know your talents. You may not know your abilities. But Micaiah, he has the ability to speak the word of God.
Yes, he does.
You look at Sister Shirley and you say, my. I sure wish I could prophesy like that, sister. You know what? God's got that for you.
That's right. God's got it for you. That's right.
All he's saying is just give me a little bit more of you. Amen. Just give me a little bit more. You know, we cry out so often, God, I want more of you, I want more of you. And the whole time God is saying, I want more of you, I want more of you. Because folks, if you're like me, you're going to learn you don't get more of God until you give him more of you. You don't get more of God. There's no more of God to get. There really isn't. We act like there is. There is nothing, no more of God to get. There's only more of you to release. And then that gives God more opportunity to work in your life. So what 3 points have we covered today? What was the first point? Somebody shout it out.
We are men of valor.
We're all men of valor and women too. Yeah. Amen. We're all people of valor. What's the second point? Yeah, full of fear. That we all have to deal with that fear. What's the third point? Awesome. The prophetic anointing will destroy the fear. Somebody over here tell me what God showed you personally besides my 3 points. What God showed you about the message. How did God speak to your heart through the message today? Somebody say it.
Do not fear.
Do not fear. All right.
Do not be anxious about anything.
All right. Do not be anxious about anything. That's good. What God is doing is just using that and getting something else up in you. Somebody over here, somebody tell me something.
For the personal anointing he gave us, God made the diamonds for his people too.
There you go. That's right. Amen. That's good. That's God. Somebody over here, somebody tell me something God showed you through the message.
Not to worry about what everybody else is doing, or worry about yourself, your relationship with God, and he'll take care of everything else.
That's good.
That is good.
Amen. That's God, see? That's God speaking. What about on the back row? Somebody on the back row tell me something. Go ahead.
Deal with my insecurities.
All right, deal with your insecurities. And if you can't, make your husband do it.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. That's something, isn't it? Yeah. That is a majority. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to share something?
God gave me love. God gave me power. God gave me a sound mind, not fear.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to wrap this thing up today, but I don't want to wrap it up in just what we've done. I want to challenge you today. See, if you walk out of this place today and you don't decide to do something with this message, you've done nothing. You've been a good student. You've done well. You've looked at me and looked nice. Nobody's gotten mad at me that I know of. But it doesn't change anything. So my challenge to you today is take just one part. You don't even have to take the whole message. Just one part of it. And I want us to do this because sometimes we need to see visible things. You take one part of that message and you hold your hand out. Now, I want it to be a part of the message that applies to you. Okay? That you know God spoke to you specifically and said, wow, that's for you, daughter. I'm really going to bless you when we work as we work on this. Okay? And you picture it in the palm of your hand. And these are good things, okay? These are good things. And then you wrap your hand over it and say, Jesus, I'm trusting that to you. I can't do it on my own, but I know you can. I know you can take care of that, and I'm giving it to you. And I want you to remind me of it and keep me stirred up over it so that I don't let go of it. And I'm expecting, and you need to see, you need to believe it this way, people. I'm expecting to see my life change because of this one thing. You're speaking to me right now. Father, I thank you for your anointing here today. I thank you that, Father, your anointing is not only a challenging anointing, but it's also an affirming anointing. And Father, over every one of these people that are hearing this message today, whether it's on the internet or here in this sanctuary, Father, I thank you that your presence not only goes with us, but your presence lives within us. And as we go forth with just this one thing that you've revealed to us today, just that one thing, and you working on it, and you working in us, and you working through us. Father, I thank you right now for the anointing bringing victory in the lives of these believers, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One question before you leave, before you come on up, I'm sorry. Does everybody here know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I mean everybody. Everybody. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, raise your hand high. I'm looking. Good. Okay, well, great. Praise God. That's all right. Now, you know what we need next Sunday? I need every one of you to bring a sinner. I'm serious. I'm challenging every one of you to bring a sinner to church next Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something. One thing that people love is to eat.
Yeah.
And if you will bring somebody to church, and maybe it's not a sinner. Maybe it's just a Christian who doesn't know where they're at right now. You know, there's a lot of people like that, a lot of believers like that. They just don't know what's going on in their lives right now. Just bring them with you to church, and then after church, take them out to eat. If you can't afford a big, fancy meal, take them to Speedway. Use your Speedway points card and get them a hot dog. Well, I'm telling you, there's something where you can, you know, just bless them. Yeah, bring a loaf of bread and peanut butter and you know, if it was my case, some honey, and go down to the park and play and just visit over a picnic table. It doesn't even have to cost you anything. And the other thing people love is anointed preaching, and I know you got that here. I don't know who's preaching next Sunday, but I know it'll be anointed. All right, well, I know it'll be anointed, and whoever else preaches, I know it'll be anointed. And people love good music, and it's here. And they love a loving pastor. And you've got that. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I love you. We love you. My wife and I love you, people. Thank you. Some of you guys are you're so far from our past. I mean, so far from our past. I mean, you've been in our past. Some of you we've just known since we've been back to visit. But we love you so much. And we love your hearts. And we love the Spirit of the Lord most of all, and the presence of the Lord that's here in this place. God bless you. You want my mic? Listen, if any of you need prayer for anything after service, we will be honored to pray with you, okay?
Thank you, Brother Richard. That seems weird. If you left clothes at the picnic baptism last week, they're on the back table, or if you know someone that did, let them know. They've been washed and cleaned and folded for you, so good deal.
That's awesome. That sounds like Sister Denise.
Thank you, Brother Richard and Bonita, for ministering today. We want to take up a love offering for them. The offering bucket's on the back table if you want to drop something in and bless this man and woman of God. You all have a blessed week, and takes less muscles to smile than it does frown, so
yeah, right.
Smile at somebody this week. Amen. Yeah.